Om Sahanavavatu, Sahanopunaktu, Sahavirjam karavavahe, Tejasvinavadidamastu, Mavitvishavahe. Om Shanti, 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 Hari Om. Have you ever felt as if your mind is torturing you? You might wake up full of dreadful, scary thoughts, or go to bed worrying about different aspects of your life. Or perhaps you wake up in the middle of the night consumed with negative thoughts. We know on an intellectual level that these endless ramblings of the mind are not good for us. But what can we do about it? Is there a solution? One of the best remedies is to develop a chanting practice, one of the elements of a yogic path. In today's episode, we will explore how we can gain mastery over the mind by using this one element of yoga, chanting. Namaste and welcome to the Spiritual Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Alexandra Savitri Amba, director of the American Reiki Academy and the Vedic Healing Center. I'm a Reiki master, Vedic healing master, and spiritual life coach who has practiced and taught spiritual self-development and healing for more than 30 years, led pilgrimages to India, and studied with blessed Indian gurus. In this show, we cover topics related to metaphysics, Reiki, Vedic healing, yoga, manifestation, spiritual growth, and feng shui based upon my studies and work in these disciplines. The aim of this show is to help you awaken, develop, and tap into your spiritual power in order to manifest love, happiness, success, well-being, peace, and productivity, so you may blossom into the highest expression and version of you. Welcome to today's episode, which is entitled Master Your Mind Through Chanting Mantras. Our mind is a beautiful aspect of our beings. It has been given to us to develop. And in developing the mind, we improve our beings. We all know this. So we read, we educate ourselves, we study, we go to school, we learn new things, all in the quest to expand the mind and become more intelligent. But there is also the aspect of the mind that fills us full of negative thoughts. And it seems like no matter how much we learn, we may still have persistent thoughts within that do not support us. In other words, these thoughts are not just about the new things we may be learning. Instead, these thoughts I'm talking about are about ourselves or other people around us or our goals and our projects. These are defeating thoughts, thoughts that serve no purpose except to bring us down. And these thoughts can really debilitate us. So if you have ever gone to bed with a mind full of worrisome thoughts, you know what I'm talking about. Once you slip off to sleep, which may take a while since your mind is going round and round over some problem, you receive some peace because you're sleeping, only to wake up then either in the middle of the night or early morning with the same worrisome thoughts. It's almost as if you're being tortured, and you kind of are, and you're being tortured by yourself. So just as you are doing the torturing, you can also undo the torturing. You can also provide to yourself the remedy for turning off these negative thoughts and moving into a state of peace and contentment with everything around you. It takes practice, but it is completely attainable through something called japa. Japa. What is japa? Japa is an element of yoga. It is the act of repeating a mantra over and over. And I'm going to talk about a mantra in a minute. Japa comes from a Sanskrit word and helps us master our beings so that ultimately, perhaps, we will not have to return to the earth again to learn and relearn lessons and go through suffering and be born in different situations. So let's look more at japa and mantras. In japa, as I said, we work with a mantra. Mantra means sacred sound vibration. It comes from two small sound vibrations in Sanskrit, man and tra, or thra. The R can be rolled. Mantra. Man comes from the word for mind, and tra, to protect. So what you're doing when you're chanting a mantra is you're protecting the mind from thinking too much. Wouldn't that be nice? It's a good thing to think, but to think too much, yes, there is such a thing. The mind needs to function, but it needs to function clearly and not to overtake us, and certainly not to bombard us with negative thoughts. So in japa, we repeat sacred sound in the form of a mantra. It's like you are saturating your being with positive energy instead of incessant and useless or potentially damaging thoughts. Everything, I would say, in life, we talk about everything in moderation, is a pretty good rule to follow, or almost everything, although some things we know are really not good for us, so there's no need to even do them in moderation. But most things, let's say, in moderation, except, I'm going to say this here, I'll go out on a limb, except for your spiritual practice. This, I might say, you can feel free to overdose on, because it is the only thing that will help every aspect of your life. And you can perform your work and use these spiritual energies that you have cultivated through your practice at the same time. So if you were to overdose on, say, exercise, you might damage your body. You could exercise, but in excess, probably not. You could, I might venture to say, you could not exercise your physical body as much as you can exercise your spiritual body. Yes, you have a spiritual body, and it is the core of your essence. So if you were to overdose on a spiritual practice, such as japa, such as chanting, you can only excel because your spiritual practice will influence you here. It will influence everything you do, and also it will influence things as you transition to other realms. Now, it does not mean to forego work and just sit and chant all day long, or sit and meditate, if we're talking about meditation, but today we're talking about more about chanting. So it does not mean that, but it means to let the sounds influence all that you do. When you saturate your energy field and your environment with your spiritual practice through japa, you start to create extraordinary results in your life. So let's concentrate on japa right now, and I'd like to give you some tips for effective chanting. So the first tip is to do your chanting on a daily basis. Make it consistent. There's really no excuse not to. There's no time to wait. You don't need to say you're too busy. For instance, you were never too busy to wash your face in the morning. You were taught when you were little that you should wash your face when you get up and wash your body and brush your teeth and so forth. So you never say, oh, I think I'm too busy, so I'm not going to wash my body for a few days. It's the same with these spiritual practice techniques. Once we use them and they become grounded in the system, we never say we're too busy to do our chanting or to do our meditation or to do our yoga, whatever it is. And we don't say that we'll wait for a few days or we'll wait a week. We'll chant this week, but we're going to take a few weeks off. No, do the chanting daily and make it consistent. The second tip is to do it at the same time. Your being will come to expect it, and it will actually wake you up. The energies within you will wake you up and say, it's time to do this chanting. It's a really kind of miraculous thing that happens. So you don't need to anymore wake up with any alarm clock at all. Your body naturally wakes yourself up for this really glorious practice, your spiritual practice. And within that is chanting. The third tip is to do it in the same place, at least at first. And I'll elaborate on this. The place that you do it in, what you're doing is you're establishing energy in that spot. All space holds energy. So a church is going to feel different from a commercial kitchen, and a bar is going to feel different from a kindergarten classroom. Every space holds energy. So when you establish a place at home, your meditation space or a room in your house, if you have the luxury to have a whole room, or it could be just a corner, the energy you generate there pours out into your home and your neighborhood and into the atmosphere. So it builds energy. And we would like to establish that space everywhere we live. So every time you move, one of the most important things you do at the beginning is establish, this is going to be the space where I do my spiritual practice. The fourth tip is to use a mantra, a chant that has been given to you by a teacher. So what happens is when you are given a mantra, the teacher assesses you, what you need, watches and listens to you, and then uses his or her wisdom to discern what will best help you. I had the great fortune of studying with teachers in India, and there is no substitute for the direct connection and insight of the teacher. There is a beautiful word that is a little bit hard to translate, but I'm going to attempt to do that. And the word is, in India, we use the word darshan, and it means being in the presence of the teacher, holy sighting, it means. So we take the darshan of a teacher. We sit with the teacher and view the teacher, kind of imbibe the energy field of the teacher, and in that experience, we get such a transmission. So it's not the same as reading a mantra or listening to a sound that's been recorded. It's very different when you're sitting with the teacher and the teacher is working with you one-on-one, and you're really immersed in the whole energy field and the feeling of the teacher. Because remember, the teacher is carrying with him or her all the years of experience, all the wisdom and the knowledge, and it's a force field. It's an energy that you're getting. So use a mantra that has been given to you by a teacher, by a qualified teacher, let's say somebody who's experienced. The fifth tip is to wait and be patient. Witness the results over time. A mantra works immediately, I can say. Just with the first chanting, when you hear those sounds, the mantra works. It's like a transmission of energy. It's like a positive jolt of white light energy through sound. Just as we would transmit energy through our hands with Reiki, we transmit energy through sound vibration. And so the mantra works immediately. It always works. It never fails, but it's like a muscle. And so over time, its effects build in your system. So if I were to chant, let's say, Om Namah Shivaya. So just by saying that, you derive benefit. The listener derives benefit. If I were to then chant it with feeling, Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya Namah. We derive benefit. The energy field around us derives benefit. But if we're to chant it over and over and over again and do it as a discipline for many, many hours, many days, many months, many years, the benefits become tremendous. And then also you, in addition to chanting, you create an affinity with the all aspects of the mantra, perhaps the deity it might be associated with. So in this sense, if it's Om Namah Shivaya, we're working with Shiva. So you get not only the sound vibration, but all the amazing attributes of Lord Shiva and what he brings to you. You will witness and feel yourself changing from within when you do japa. And then you will deal with outside circumstances and challenges differently, all as a result of these sacred sounds you are repeating daily. So never doubt that they are working. The sixth tip is to concentrate on each sound and see how your mind relaxes. Now, it's very interesting. It's not possible to chant and worry at the same time. My guru told me that, and I remember the first time I heard him say that, and I thought, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to see if I can chant and worry at the same time. Why I would want to do that, I don't know, but I was just putting it to the test. And what I observed was, I might go into a japa practice with worries, but as I chant, my mind might move from thought to thought, but there is a distinct letting go of worry. There is a release of worry. So my guru was right. Well, I knew he was right, but I wanted to see for myself. It is not possible to chant and worry at the same time. The chanting dissolves the worry. It brings relief. You might move into your practice in a state of worry, but you will come out of your practice having let go of that worry. So concentrate on each sound and see how your mind relaxes. So when I just chanted, for instance, just now, Om Namah Shivaya, which is a very common chant that you hear, each sound is so precious. And when you're listening, or when, if that is a mantra that you've been given, when you are chanting it, just put your full attention on these sounds without any concern for anything else in your life. When you're chanting, you are just there with your chanting. You are one with your chanting. And then you create this wonderful, I've used this word before, this merging with the chant. You become the chant, and the chant becomes you. So, Japa gives you an incredible tool to master your mind. It helps you identify less with negative thoughts and eventually eradicate, I could say, negative thoughts. Yes. It helps you eradicate worries, fears, all sorts of negativity, self-doubt, fears. Japa also helps your emotional body as well. So it replaces sadness with great joy, with great bliss, where you feel so expanded and happy and almost giddy. And you think, I have no excuse to be this happy. Nothing has happened in my life to make me happy. And then you understand that your happiness does not depend on circumstances. It does not depend on things happening. It depends on only one thing, and that is an internal state that you create for yourself. And when you create that internal state, everything just starts to flow with ease and grace and magic. I use that word magic a lot in these podcasts. And what I mean by that is things happening that you have no logical explanation for and just seem to be so extraordinary that you can only say, this happened as if by magic. So believe in this magic. It is intricately connected to your spiritual practice. Magic will happen in your life when you amp up your spiritual practice. It's just something you must experience. And in concluding today, I also just want to say that Japa will also help you find answers to problems, because when you clear excessive thought from your mind, so not just negative thought, but just excessive thought in general, too much thought, too many thoughts going round and round in your mind, you are able to then have clarity. And that's when you are flooded with insights. So you are clearing the mind from debris, from things that really just are not serving you at all. And in doing this wonderful science of Japa that anyone can learn how to do, you get transformed on an inner level, and it happens so smoothly and so nicely. There is not a lot of effort involved. In fact, sometimes it's said that Japa is the fastest and easiest way to enlightenment. That's interesting. So we are in a culture where we like fast and easy things, the quick fix. And I would venture to say that Japa will give you that. I did say at the beginning of this episode that it takes time. And yes, that's true, that there should be some patience, but the effects will be seen. They can be seen pretty quickly, and then they just amplify over time. So really, there's no excuse to not try it. All you have available to you is great bliss and great expansion on your path, great happiness, great peace, great contentment awaiting you just by repeating these beautiful sounds. So I hope this has been of assistance. If you would like more information, please visit the website and be in touch. You can sign up for our newsletter or just be in touch and join one of our programs. I'd be happy to work with you one-on-one and help you establish a spiritual practice that fuels your life and makes you successful, happy, joyous, contented, peaceful. It's all available. Om Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti 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 Om Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu Om Shanti, 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 Hari Om. Om Sai Ram, Jai Guruji, Om Amriteshwari Namaha, Hare Krishna, Om Namah Shivaya.